Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. Would it surprise you to know that a man named Louis DeJoy of the post office is up to some skullduggery? Would that surprise you? Luke, would that surprise you? I don't think it would surprise you. The fact of the matter is the guy is skullduggery on the hoof, okay? He's a very bad guy. He looks like a villain in a James Bond movie. He's the guy that destroyed more than 700 sorting machines before the election to slow down the mailing of absentee ballots so that they get there after November 3rd and wouldn't be counted, especially in large urban areas. Mysteriously, these sorting machines largely impacted large urban areas. Not only that, he said that he did it to save money. But he shredded them. He didn't resell them. You know, if you were taking them out to save money, I don't know what kind of money you're saving. Sorting machines themselves save money because you need less manpower in hand sorting. But you'd at least resell them, wouldn't you? You'd resell them even for scrap, but probably to direct mail companies, and they'd offer you half price or something. Nope, scrapped them. Also, started to cut out overtime, mail packages, stacking up. You saw some of the video. It's horrendous. I mean, there's a whole room. It looks as big as a Costco floor, and it's just full of packages, helter-skelter, and all that. He was put in to destroy the post office. But the Republicans don't want the post office. They don't want the post office. They don't want mail-in ballots. And they have a problem. The problem is the post office is actually mentioned in the Constitution. In other words, the people that wrote the Constitution, you know, you have Jefferson, Hamilton, Madison, Franklin, Jay, all these people, they put it in. So who's smarter than they are? No one. They put it in. So it's got to be honored, but it's dying a death by a thousand cuts. And one of the things they did to kill it, basically to help UPS and Federal Express, they want to privatize the post office, the Republicans, and make it UPS, FedEx. And if you want to send a letter, how much do you think they're going to charge you to send that letter? You think it's the same as the post office? Are you kidding me? It's going to be many dollars, a couple of bucks. Well, here's what he's done now. What precipitated is the Congress passed a law in 2006 when Bush was president to cripple the post office. And they said, you have got to prepay your health care and pensions for 70 years. 70 years, 7-0. You know, how many other corporations in this country, much less direct mail corporations, do you know that are told they have to pre-fund their pensions and their health care for 70 years? The answer is no, zero, zero, big fat zero, except for the post office. UPS doesn't have to. FedEx doesn't have to. The post office has to. So then they come up short each year, and then Congress wrings its hands and says, well, it shows they can't operate profitably. Maybe we should shut them down. And we go through this dance. Well, here's what DeJoy has done. There's something like a $160 billion projection over some years in losses of the post office. But the post office is not a for-profit company. It's separate from the government in a fake way, but what other corporations do you know are mentioned in the U.S. Constitution? And so they wring their hands and they pretend to wring their hands. And they go, well, we got to address this $160 billion in losses. And I got an idea, DeJoy. DeJoy belongs in front of a grand jury, not in a place of honor in a government, not the head of a post office.
You're listening to Devil Radio.
But I got an idea, DeJoy. Why don't you rescind the requirement, abolish the requirement that the post office has to pre-fund its pension and health care for 70 years and treat them like you treat UPS, FedEx, and other companies? And if there's going to be some kind of requirement, you know, under generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP, that they have to show the project the funding of it for some short period of time, fine. Whatever everybody else has to do, no more, no less. And then I got an idea for the Congress, real radical idea. If there is a shortfall at the end of the year, that's made up by the Congress. It's a trivial amount compared to our budget, compared to the pandemic bill, compared to the infrastructure bill, everything else we're doing, a trivial amount. But here's what DeJoy said he's going to do. He said, oh, I can take care of the $160 billion projected losses. I can do it. What he is going to do is increase the price of stamps and mailing and slow down delivery. Seriously. Save money, maybe get rid of some people. So right now they may project your letter will get there in 3 days. DeJoy could say, well, it's going to be 5 days or 7 days. And that's just a projection. And your package, you know, you go to the counter at a post office now, say, well, if you pay X, it'll get there in 2 days. If you pay a little less, it'll get there in three or five or whatever. Well, you know, we're going to change that. We're going to jack up the price and it's going to be even slower. He's not doing it to save money. If he wanted to save money, he'd lobby to get rid of the requirement to pre-fund their pension and their health care for 70 years. He's doing it to slowly destroy the post office because as the costs go up and as delivery becomes more uncertain and slower, people will complain even more. They'll use the post office less. That will compound the problem. And then they'll say, well, it's really, really unprofitable now. And so, well, let's not amend the Constitution. That's hard. Let's just say I have a thing called the post office and have a storefront and a phone and have one person answer the phone and say, this used to be the post office. Why don't you go to UPS and FedEx or someplace else? I do not want to privatize the post office. George Washington didn't want to. Neither did Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, John Jay. None of them, Benjamin Franklin, none of them wanted to privatize the post office. They provided in the Constitution there would be a post office. And the people in the Republican Party said, well, they didn't have cars back then and planes riding around on ponies. I don't care what the technology was or when. We are America. We have a post office. You are not the most powerful country in the world that everybody looks up to. With an ascendant constitution, and we are the beacon for the entire world, who are largely a quarreling mass of warfare and envy and trying to get in the United States and not have a post office. That's as simple as that. So there you have it. You heard it from me. It's dangerous. He is going to slow down delivery badly, and he's going to jack up the prices to slowly destroy the post office. Some good news. Joe Biden just appointed Kamala Harris to lead the effort to stem migration at the border. Very smart appointment. She, you know, she's a very able person. She can meet with these people down in Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and they can't lay some kind of a diversity thing on her. They can't, you know, she can out-diversity them. She can also humanely say, here's how we're going to do it. And the Biden administration is much more insulated from attack that somehow they did something cruel. And if the right wing wants to attack her, the fact is she's the vice president and attack, you know, it's one thing to attack a cabinet secretary or, you know, some schlepper that they send down there. This is the vice president. I think it's very smart. She will obviously do the policy that Joe Biden puts into effect. They have got to close that border. You cannot keep encouraging people to simply come up, dump their kids and leave and say, okay, you take care of them. House them, educate them, give them health care, find them foster care, and keep them out of trouble. Many of them are unaccompanied, as it is, teenage boys. You can't do it. They say very, very correctly, we're leaving a hellhole. They are a violent hellhole because the president of Honduras is a cartel agent. That requires other tactics for us to combat that. But I think Kamala Harris can give that message that we're going to stop it. And one of the problems is, you know, the Biden administration has been saying, don't come yet. The minute you say yet, you're teasing people to come. Come on, Joe. You're teasing people to come. Kamala Harris has to give a very stern message, but give it in a nice way. And if they lay some kind of guilt trip on her, she's a hard one to lay a guilt trip on. So there you have it. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. It's a lot more back after the break.